When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, hello there. I'm Nurse Mo, and this is the Straight A Nursing Podcast, where I teach concepts and share tips on how to thrive in nursing school and at the bedside. So I haven't done a pediatric episode in a while, so I'm really excited to have that here for you today. So if you're heading into your pediatric rotation, or perhaps you're working as a nurse and you work on a peds unit or in labor and delivery, you're going to find this especially interesting. Now, before we hop into that, let's take a quick minute for our listener shout out. And this one goes out to Catherine, who says this: "Hi, Nurse Mo. I just wanted to let you know I graduated with my BSN last month and passed NCLEX on Saturday. I'm so thankful that I had Straight A Nursing to prepare me even before I started nursing school. Also, thanks to the dosage calculations course and the grace of God, I passed every dosage test with 100% on the first try." Catherine, way to go. Great job. I'm so proud of you. And as someone who had a bit of a math phobia, I totally get what you mean by being so thrilled that you could conquer dosage calculations. So again, thank you so much for sharing your experience and congratulations on passing your NCLEX. So if you're curious what Catherine is talking about, she's mentioning my dosage calculations program called Confident Calculations. I'll put a link in the episode notes so that you can check it out. All right, so as promised, today we're talking about a pediatric condition, and that condition is dextrotransposition of the great arteries, or DTGA. You may sometimes just hear this called transposition of the great arteries, but there are actually two subtypes, so I just wanted to be very clear about which one we are talking about. And DTGA is a congenital cyanotic heart defect in which the pulmonary artery and the aorta are transposed. Now, that other type of transposition of the great arteries is levotransposition of the great arteries, in which the aorta is to the left of the pulmonary artery. But in this episode, we're going to be talking about dextrotransposition of the great arteries, as it is the most common form and also the most serious. Now, to fully understand the implications of this condition, it's really, really helpful to review normal cardiopulmonary circulation. So let's do that now. So in normal cardiopulmonary circulation, blood flows from the system into the inferior vena cava and superior vena cava. From there, the blood enters the right atrium. It flows through the tricuspid valve and into the right ventricle. It is then pumped through the pulmonary valve and into the pulmonary artery. The pulmonary artery leads into the pulmonary vasculature where oxygen exchange occurs. The blood then leaves the lungs and returns to the heart through the pulmonary veins. It enters at the left atrium, flows through the mitral valve and into the left ventricle. From there, it is pumped out through the aortic valve into the aorta and out into systemic circulation. So let's review that again. I'm going to take the valves out of it this time because I really want you to focus on the chambers of the heart, the pulmonary artery, the pulmonary veins, and the aorta. Okay? So in normal anatomy, blood flows from the system and it enters the right atrium. It then goes into the right ventricle and then out through the pulmonary artery to the lungs, where it participates in gas exchange. It then returns to the heart through the pulmonary veins at the left atrium, goes into the left ventricle, and then into the aorta and out into systemic circulation. So one more time, just for good measure. In normal anatomy, blood flows from the system into the right atrium, to the right ventricle, out through the pulmonary artery into the lungs, where it participates in gas exchange. It returns to the left atrium through the pulmonary vein, and then it goes into the left ventricle, and then into the aorta and out into systemic circulation. Okay, you got that? If you're having a little trouble with it, I recommend looking at this visually. So I will put a link in the episode notes that will take you to the blog post on my website that is associated with this episode so that you can read it in written form. And there's also a link to a diagram. And that's really, really helpful for understanding this cardiopulmonary blood flow. So now let's look at the alterations with DTGA. So in dextrotransposition of the great arteries, the pulmonary artery and the aorta are transposed, meaning they've switched places. And to remind you, the pulmonary artery goes to the lungs, the aorta goes into the system. That's what occurs in normal anatomy. So let's talk about that in a little bit more detail. But what we're essentially seeing with DTGA is that there's no communication between pulmonary and a systemic circulation. So again, in that normal anatomy, the pulmonary artery comes off the right ventricle and takes deoxygenated blood to the lungs where it can participate in gas exchange. But in DTGA, the pulmonary artery comes off the left ventricle. The result is that the oxygenated blood in the left ventricle does not go out through the aorta like it does normally. Instead, it goes back to the lungs via the pulmonary artery. So essentially, this oxygenated blood never gets sent out into the systemic circulation. So I know that that's kind of hard to follow if you're just listening along, so I'm going to say it again. So in DTGA anatomy, the pulmonary artery comes off the left ventricle. Remember, normally it comes off the right ventricle, but in this case, it's coming off the left ventricle. So in that left ventricle, we have oxygenated blood. Normally, this oxygenated blood would go out through the aorta, but that is not what is connected to our left ventricle in DTGA. Instead, it's going to go out through the pulmonary artery and back to the lungs. It's never going to get sent out into systemic circulation. So earlier I mentioned that there's really no communication between pulmonary and systemic circulation. So that might be really becoming clear here. So if you think of it like this, you've got your blood in the left ventricle. It's going to go out through the pulmonary artery into the lungs, back through the pulmonary vein into the left atrium, down to the left ventricle, out through the pulmonary artery to the lungs, back through the pulmonary vein to the left atrium, into the left ventricle, out through the pulmonary artery, etc. So you can see how that pulmonary circulation is just kind of happening all on its own over here on the side, right? Well, now let's look at what's going on in the right side of the heart. And this is where the aorta is connected in the wrong place. So as for the aorta, in that normal anatomy, the aorta will exit from the left ventricle because we want that oxygenated blood to go out into systemic circulation. But in DTGA anatomy, the aorta exits from the right ventricle, which is full of deoxygenated blood. The result is that deoxygenated blood is sent out through the aorta into systemic circulation. So when we look at that just all on its own, what is happening is that blood is coming into the right atrium from the system. Remember the inferior vena cava and the superior vena cava. It goes into the right atrium, into the right ventricle, and then out through the aorta back into systemic circulation. Then it comes back in through the right atrium, into the right ventricle, out through the aorta, into systemic circulation. So it's never going to the lungs for gas exchange. So you can see now how there really is no communication between pulmonary circulation and systemic circulation. And that is why this condition is so, so serious. And without some kind of underlying compensation, DTGA is incompatible with life. So what do I mean by compensation? So dextrotransposition of the great arteries is one condition in which you want the child to have other congenital heart defects, such as a patent foramen ovale, a patent ductus arteriosus, and or a ventricular septal defect. So if you're interested in learning more about patent ductus arteriosus and ventricular septal defect, go back and listen to episodes 70 and 73. Now, these defects, especially a VSD, ventricular septal defect, will force oxygenated blood from the left ventricle into the right ventricle so that it can go out through the misplaced aorta and into systemic circulation. However, these defects can and do resolve on their own sometimes. So once these openings start to close, the child will begin to show signs of compromise, such as cyanosis. And if no compensatory defects are present, cyanosis typically begins to show very soon after the child is born. So let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the signs and symptoms, the diagnosis, and the treatment of DTGA.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan. But nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
All right, we're back. And now that we have reviewed normal cardiopulmonary circulation and the abnormalities with dextrotransposition of the great arteries, let's talk a bit about the signs and symptoms, diagnosis, treatment, and risk factors. So as you can imagine, with a cyanotic heart defect, the infant is going to show some significant signs and symptoms. So some of those include weak pulses, a poor appetite, maybe they have failure to thrive or very slow weight gain because their appetite is very poor. They may have tachypnea, labored breathing, tachycardia, and of course, cyanotic skin signs. So if the infant is showing signs of DTGA, it can be diagnosed postnatally, but the baby will have better outcomes if it can be diagnosed prenatally, and that would be done through a prenatal ultrasound. However, detection at this time is rather difficult. After the baby is born, then diagnostic tests include things like an echocardiogram, cardiac catheterization, and chest X-ray. The reason the child has better outcomes if it can be diagnosed prenatally is that better plans can be made so that the birth occurs at a specialty center with a neonatal ICU and pediatric cardiologists available. Now, what about the treatment for dextrotransposition of the great arteries? The only definitive treatment for DTGA is surgery, and essentially that surgery is done to switch the positions of those arteries. Now, prior to surgery, treatments include prostaglandin, and that's going to maintain a patent ductus arteriosus, and this medication is administered as a continuous IV infusion. Note that apnea can occur as an adverse effect of this medication. So in some cases, the patient may need to be intubated and obviously in a neonatal ICU. The patient may also need fluids to correct hypotension because prostaglandins can cause vasodilation. And as you know, vasodilation leads to hypotension. So we can combat that by increasing intravascular volume with fluids. And then, of course, supplemental oxygen as needed. Now, another procedure that may be conducted to stabilize the patient prior to surgery is a balloon atrial septostomy, or BAS procedure. In this procedure, a catheter is advanced through the umbilical or femoral vein, inserted into the heart, and a balloon is deployed across the atrial septum. And essentially, this is done to create an opening between the right and left atrium. This allows that oxygen-rich blood from the left side of the heart to enter the right side of the heart and ultimately systemic circulation through that misplaced aorta. Children who undergo this procedure will still require that full surgical repair of the transposed arteries. Again, that was called a balloon atrial septostomy. You may hear it called a BAS or BAS procedure. Now, you might be wondering, well, what causes dextrotransposition of the great arteries to occur? So factors which put a baby at higher risk for developing the condition include a family history of congenital heart defects, alcohol use during pregnancy, use of certain medications during pregnancy, specifically anti-seizure medications. They tend to cause congenital heart defects as an adverse effect, not all of them, but some. Smoking during pregnancy, poorly controlled diabetes during pregnancy, and viral infections during pregnancy, including rubella. Now, the exact cause is not really known, but these are some known risk factors. So, to help prevent DTGA, some really important prenatal teaching includes things like getting the rubella vaccine, avoiding smoking, avoiding alcohol, controlling blood glucose levels if that's an issue, and discussing all medications with their OB-GYN. So that concludes our lesson on dextrotransposition of the great arteries, but I really want to make sure you understand this concept. So let's do a few pod quiz questions so that you can really make sure you're understanding. Okay, so let's go back and look at cardiopulmonary circulation. In normal cardiopulmonary circulation, what is the pulmonary artery attached to? It's attached to the right ventricle, and that's because in the right ventricle is deoxygenated blood. The pulmonary artery is going to carry it to the lungs where it will participate in gas exchange. So in normal anatomy, where does the aorta exit from? It exits from the left ventricle. Very good. And what type of blood is going out through the left ventricle into the aorta? Oxygenated blood. Excellent. So when we have DTGA, oxygenated blood comes in from the pulmonary veins, goes to the left atrium, then the left ventricle, and then where does it go? Yeah, it goes back to the lungs via the pulmonary artery. Very, very good. So what is the consequence? What happens to systemic circulation, the blood in systemic circulation? Is it oxygenated or deoxygenated? It's deoxygenated. Excellent. And then when we're looking at blood returning from the system, it goes to the right atrium, into the right ventricle, and then in a patient with DTGA, where does it go next? It goes into the aorta and then back into systemic circulation. So what's the consequence here? Is the blood in systemic circulation oxygenated or deoxygenated? It is deoxygenated. This blood never went to the lungs to pick up oxygen. So you can clearly see how this would be a big problem for your patient. So let's talk a little bit about the compensatory defects, which could help a baby with DTGA survive a little bit better right after they've been born. I named 3 congenital heart defects which could be helpful for your patient. Do you remember what those are? So those were a patent foramen ovale, or PFO, a patent ductus arteriosus, or PDA, and a ventricular septal defect, or VSD. Very, very good. And what would be the key biggest symptom that your little patient is having a problem with this deoxygenated blood in their systemic circulation? That would be cyanosis, those cyanotic skin signs. Remember, this is a cyanotic congenital heart defect. And then what is the procedure that might be conducted to stabilize the patient prior to surgery? That procedure is called a balloon atrial septostomy. Very, very good. And what about the medication that may be utilized to maintain a patent ductus arteriosus? That is prostaglandin, and that's going to be administered as a continuous infusion. And then what 2 complications could occur from prostaglandin infusion? One had to do with their respiratory system. That was apnea. Very good. So the patient may need to be intubated. And the other one had to do with their blood vessels. Do you remember what that was? So that was vasodilation, essentially causing hypotension. So to combat that, the patient may get some additional fluids. Okay, that was excellent work. You're now ready for an exam on transposition of the great vessels. I want to wish you all the very best, and I hope to see you back here next week, where I'm going to be talking with Jenny Fennell from CRNA School Prep Academy. She's amazing. She's a super great advocate for CRNAs and for nurses pursuing that career path. And she's going to be answering your questions and talking about the key things to know about embarking on that pathway to become a CRNA. So I will see you back here next week for that. Bye for now. This podcast is brought to you by Straight A Nursing, a proud member of the Airwave Media Network. For more educational podcasts, check out airwavemedia.com. And for more nursing-related content, go to straightanursingstudent.com.
Do you find it hard to sleep at night? Then the Calm Cove podcast can help you sleep deeply all night long. Calm Cove has deeply relaxing meditation music and ambient sounds like ocean waves and crackling fires. All of our episodes are designed to help you relax and to fall asleep fast. Calm Cove is brought to you by the team behind Sleep Cove, the sleep podcast that consists of spoken word hypnosis, meditation, and stories. So if you want to listen to a beautiful soundscape tonight, search for Calm Cove on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and see how we're helping millions of people relax and go to sleep every night.